spend the time because I'm kind of being wrapped up right now. But basically, I would tell you the most important way to really learn how to be with yourself is to understand that, even, you know, of course, your first relationship is with yourself, but you also have to understand to love and to be understanding and to be okay with feeling stuff and to be okay with understanding that not all of your feelings are, you know, logical. Not all of your feelings are. Oh, baby, I think you're gonna have to call me for the next episode because we're gonna have to wrap up. But listen, everybody else, thank you so much for showing love and calling and everything. We're gonna.
You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
La tour, mes amis super-héros, si vous avez à venir écouter à la radio CKUT 90.3.
Welcome to Dragon Root Radio, Feminist Waves brought to you by CKUT and the Center for Gender Advocacy. The Dragon Root Media Collective aims to bring you feminist content that challenges interlocking systems of oppression and makes space for voices systemically silenced. Dragon Root understands media as being inherently political and emphasizes media skill sharing as a form of resistance. We meet every other Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the Center for Gender Advocacy and welcome anyone interested in learning or producing feminist media to join. No skills required.
Placing his flowers in a porcelain bowl, I mistook for a gift he gave in a lonesome hour. I reason with the edge of a shadow still draped up on my wall, can't remember his name, but a face with beatific angles like sun in the rain. My eyes are dripping tears in my sleep as I wake. I'm the piece of iron in your shotgun, the empty bullet you shot, son. The opening line to your love letter eyes, bleeding love lines from the feather. I'm the fancy dress on this month's display. The fabric women all look the same. A flavor for you to chew and spit. I was strong till I was hit. I was stung by that first kiss, a Casanova's daily fix. I was strung by my love's lips when I was stung by that first kiss. I found him sipping whiskey with a dark grin, had a lipstick on the glass, beside his mouth upon the rim. He said, plenty more have come and gone away. Well, I'm a piece of iron in your shotgun, the empty bullet you shot, son. The opening line to your love letter eyes, bleeding love lines from the feather. I'm the fancy dress on this month's display. The fabric women all look the same. A flavor for you to chew and spit. I was strong till I was hit. I was stung by that first kiss, a Casanova's daily fix. Well, I was strung by my love's lips when I was stung by that first kiss. gift now, showering in ruin. To be a lonely lover or a young man's slave, well, I'd rather be a wild weed than a flower in a vase.
Welcome to Dragon Root Radio. You just heard a song by singer-songwriter Daughter of the Moon.
Brave and bold, like the wolf.
Industry, it's a really big word, but as someone who is in it and tours and creates music, can you talk a bit about
I guess, like, any, since we're a feminist radio show, any, like, gender discrepancies that you've experienced that have impacted maybe, like, your creativity or just your ability to kind of express in that realm?
You know, actually, it was probably the thing that I experienced most. So I just went on a two-month tour. I drove my car from Vancouver to the edge of Newfoundland and played shows along the way in different places and lived in my car. I had a bed in the back of my hatchback, and it was such a wonderful experience. But I noticed along the way, I had so many people. I mean, the more east you get, the more they'll ask you if your license plate seems way out of province. They'll ask you right away where you're from, and even at shows. And I had the interesting comment that I always had was, oh, you're traveling by yourself? Mm-hmm. Like, I had some older gentleman in Newfoundland look at me and go, where's your man?
Oh, wow.
I was like, I don't need one. Excuse me. Yeah, so that was interesting. I wasn't actually expecting that to happen so much, and people were really, really surprised that I was traveling alone, like a young woman. And I don't know. Are we asking how I feel about that, or what are we asking?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. How does it impact you as a musician?
I'd say, yeah. I mean, I think it was cool because people seemed really impressed, and so in my own way, that makes me feel, it made me feel strong, and it made me feel brave and adventurous. But on the other hand, you know, it definitely made me feel a little bit almost disappointed that is not yet just a normal thing, because I honestly do feel like if I was a man musician traveling by myself, I don't think I would have gotten so many comments about, oh, wow, you're all by yourself. Mm. And, you know, I wouldn't have gotten that comment, like, where's your man? And, you know, just, so it personally made me feel good, but in the broader perspective, I wish and I hope for the future that that'll happen a lot more, and that'll become a normal thing to see a woman, being able to travel by herself, yeah, mm-hmm. and tour.
Now, you tour with the band Daughter of the Moon. Can you tell us a bit about, actually, let's start. Where does the name come from?
Daughter of the Moon?
Yeah.
So, there is a little story attached to that, actually. I mean, besides, the name resonates with me, because I do, I love the moon. I'm really passionate about exploring and following the moon cycles, as well as relating them to my own female cycles. And I used to play under the name Natalie Ramsey as my solo act. And it was interesting because I found that my personal life and my music life were just so interweaved. And I was craving a kind of separation, and I was also craving for a name that would allow me to have those strong imaginary and visual visions that I have when I write the actual songs. So I was playing at my first music festival two summers ago at the Blessed Coast Festival in Squamish, which is a beautiful festival, very spiritual and full of beautiful people, and I was going around without shoes and a skirt, and my friend looked at me and said, oh, you're kind of like the daughter of the moon. And I appreciated that comment. I loved it, and it stuck with me. And at that same festival, there was a little bit of a mistake with writing my name on their billboard the wrong way, and it's kind of a funny name that they misspelt. They didn't say Natalie Ramsey, they said Natramsey is one word, and it made me kind of sound like a DJ or something. And I remember everyone called me that all week, and they still call me that. It haunts me, Natramsey. And I just thought, oh my god, let's just pick another name, like let's do Daughter of the Moon. And it just felt right in every way, and it's been good ever since.
Awesome. And what were, so you were on tour this summer, what were some of the highlights from your tour?
There were so many. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, the thrill of surviving, the thrill of driving across the country and seeing all the different landscapes. It's absolutely stunning. Even the prairies are absolutely beautiful. Although I'm biased, I'm from the prairies. But yeah, I'd say the people I met, I barely actually only had to sleep in my car maybe half the time because people would offer me a place to stay. I met some beautiful people that I feel that I'll connect with for the rest of my life, and a lot of musical contacts. Yeah, that just everything. And I love traveling, so it was just a thrill.
Was it your first time going from coast to coast?
It was. Yeah.
Okay. What was that an intentional decision, and why? Why coast to coast? It's a long trip.
Yeah, it kind of just worked out that way. I started reaching out to different venues that I had noticed a lot of my friends had toured, or I started with the recommendations. So I ended up booking a show. My first show that I booked was in Moncton, New Brunswick. And I thought, okay, great. So now I'm going to have to go all the way to New Brunswick. So I might as well hang out in the area. And then I met somebody who helped me get some shows in Newfoundland. So then that was it. It just worked out. And actually, it was the space in between that I ended up filling last, the prairies. I thought, well, I need something along the way. So it just turned into a big ordeal and a big fun trip.
Looking ahead, what are you excited for or looking forward to developing in terms of your music trajectory?
I think right now, so yeah, for most of my life, music has been a big priority, but I think I've always focused on the creative side, and I've put a lot of effort into songwriting and kind of developing my own personal strength was on the music side. So lately, the last year or so, I've been focusing more on kind of organizing and the business side of things, where yeah, I'm booking tours and getting a team assembled of people, you know, to do more things like this, you know, do interviews and to how do I describe that? Yeah, to get the music kind of out there, to send it out into the world, which does take quite a lot of work, and it does take a team to help. So that's what I'm assembling right now, and I'm really excited about it. It's definitely the other side of the creative brain. It's a little more mathematical and planny, but it's really fulfilling, and I'm learning so much. So actually, I'm so excited to be sitting down and doing that now, and that's the plan for the next year.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll end the show with one more song. Do you want to tell us a bit about this one?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to share. Just, you know, in light of, I feel, what your station is about. This is a song called Wildflowers, and it was a song that I wrote for a really beautiful group of different women in my life, including my own mother and some really beautiful best friends of mine who unfortunately in their life have had to suffer from abuse from male partners. And I know that I feel almost every female has some kind of connection to a story like that. And so I think the beautiful thing that's been happening in the world is we're starting to share our stories, and that really inspired me. So I wrote the song Wildflowers for that purpose.
You're a silent forest. You're a wild flower. You've been moving backwards into the wildfire, but you're a sharpened arrow.
perched up on the window. You're a full moon rising. You're trying to fly, carried on your back a white, blue-eyed tiger. Your mother screaming for her child dying, and your heart is coming alive. You wild fire, and I saw your face was the darkest of war. He never gave you time or the space to soar. But you're a sharpened arrow that tried to spear a heart stone cold. And you're a red-winged blackbird perched up on the window.
Learn or find out more about Daughter of the Moon, where can they go? How can they support?
Yeah, you can find me anywhere online. I've got a new 6-song EP that just came out, so you can find me on Spotify, iTunes. I have a website, Daughter of the Moon Music. There's also a book out there called Daughter of the Moon, so if you can't find me, just attach music to the end and you'll find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Natalie. Again,
you're listening to Dragon Root Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We're going to switch gears and present our interview with Dawn Canada. We had the chance to speak with Nellie from Dawn. Dawn is the Disabled Women's Network of Canada, and they recently released a report called Girls Without Barriers, an intersectional feminist analysis of girls and young women with disabilities in Canada. Here to talk more about Dawn and the report is Nellie.
My name is Nellie Basili, and I've been working with Dawn Canada for little over 2.5 years now. I'm the Director of Youth Initiatives and International Relations. Dawn Canada, so the Disabled Women's Network of Canada, or Dawn for short, is a feminist and cross-disability rights organization. So we have been defending the rights of girls and young women with disabilities for 35 years now. And Dawn Canada is explicitly a feminist organization that works in the disability sector. But we also bridge the gaps between, but also advocacy with other organizations in various sectors.
Now you touched on this a little bit, but what are Dawn's key principles, and what lens does Dawn examine inequalities and discrimination?
Yeah, sure. So obviously we have the prism of looking at things through an intersectional feminist lens. And what that means is that we want to center the most marginalized in all of the work that we do. And not only center the most marginalized, but also add a disability in it, specifically a cross-disability lens. So if we break that down from an intersectional feminist perspective, we really want to center those who are from, you know, communities that have been historically marginalized. So that means Black, Indigenous, and people of color. When we add the cross-disability lens, we also look at, you know, disability from a wide spectrum. And that means any form of disability, and not in a medicalized way. And giving people the agency, women the agency to self-identify, and not requiring any formal diagnoses, and moving away from the medical model and medical systems that, you know, have often been very detrimental and traumatic for girls and young women with disabilities, and for people in general with disabilities.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell us about the Girls Without Barriers project?
Sure. So Girls Without Barriers, as a project, is has been running for a few years now. And the aim of Girls Without Barriers really is to work with organizations that are what we call girl-serving organizations that run programs for girls and really help them in the process of making their programming for girls more inclusive and respectful of the realities of girls with disabilities. And what that means is we look at things from a structural level. We look at things from how ableism affects, you know, what kind of programming, what kind of services are offered. And what we find is that if we look at it from a structural level, we work with organizations to also look at, you know, who is on their boards, who is on their staff, do they, you know, understand how ableism works within those structures as well, so that they are then better able to do their programming with girls with disabilities. So we really want to look at things from root causes, from structural levels, in order to help the programming be better and more inclusive for girls with disabilities. And we've been working with different organizations. For example, we've worked with Rock Camp for girls. Mm-hmm. We've also worked with Black Girls Summer Workshop, which are both camps for girls in the summertime, and they run programs for girls, and they're really wonderful programs and partners, because they really want to look at things from an intersectional feminist lens. They really want to look at things from a disability lens and better understand how they can, you know, get at things like ableism and explain it to kids, and be more inclusive of the different needs of girls with disabilities who may want to be part of their programs. And we really encourage them to do all of these things, you know, by helping them from recruitment to all the way to programming that they do. And within that, Girls Without Barriers, we also have a research component. And this is where our research report, Girls Without Barriers, an intersectional feminist lens, that looks at the situation of girls and young women with disabilities in Canada also comes about.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a bit more about this, the research component, and if or what were some challenges that you encountered while conducting the study?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Girls Without Barriers as a research project, the research component of this project came about because, we actually a year ago released a report, another report called More Than a Footnote. And in that report, we already, had the data that confirmed that women with disabilities are among the most marginalized in Canadian society. And what that means is they, face multiple societal barriers to accessing things like education, employment, health, reproductive rights, and are also more at risk of experiencing things like gender-based violence. But what that research also showed is the lack of data about girls with disabilities. Mm-hmm. So, Girls Without Barriers is really, as a research project, is really a first step in starting to bridge that gap. So over the course of this research, we found it difficult to access Canadian statistics about girls with disabilities. So, Girls Without Barriers as a research report really set out to not only review literature that already exists in the form of, academic articles and community/activist-based reports on the rights of girls and young women with disabilities, but it also intentionally set out to better understand the realities of girls with disabilities who not only have to deal with ableism as a system, but also racism, colonialism, sexism, heterosexism, and other systems of oppression, and how they intersect and affect their lives. I also want to clarify that this report, is a first step. It's not an exhaustive analytical work. We consider this report as a first exploratory research project that really did look at the existing literature as a first step towards the development of, more qualitative studies carried out by and for young women with disabilities. There is a dearth of information that directly talks from the perspective of girls with disabilities. So another thing that we mention and highlight in this report is we really need to move away from this adult perspective on girls. This adult perspective over time, it reinforces this infantilization of girls, and we're really trying to move away from that. And so, we strongly urge everyone to listen to girls, to listen to their perspectives. Girls with disabilities have so much to bring about, and yet their perspectives are not sufficiently put out there without that lens, that is an adult lens, because even the research that we looked at is from an adult perspective. The starting points are always from the adult perspective. So we're really trying to bring that to the fore and move away from that.
Hmm. In the report, you also take time to examine the increasing incarceration of girls and young women with disabilities. And you also emphasize that incarceration isn't limited to the imprisonment of people following court decisions. Can you talk to us a little bit more about how the erasure of this issue?
Sure. So maybe to start with, I can talk about what we mean by sort of our definition of incarceration, if you will. Mm-hmm. We, as we are in an ableist society, disability is intrinsically linked with incarceration. And within, you know, the analyses that we work with at Dawn, we consider that incarceration is not limited to imprisonment of people following court decisions only, you know, so we broaden that definition of incarceration to include things like placement of people, consenting or not, or otherwise, into institutions that really limit their human rights, mm-hmm. that limit their living conditions and their dignity. You know, we have to remember that historically, Western societies included people, excluded, people with disabilities from the public sphere by limiting their access and, you know, or placing them in institutions. And so it is from that perspective that we look at incarceration. But more specifically, you know, we live also in a racist and colonialist society, and incarceration, in this case, via court decision, has a singular impact on racialized women, on Indigenous women. So just to clarify what we mean by that. Now, the way we looked at incarceration as well is how does it affect, for example, children when we talk about things like, and girls specifically, when we talk about things like school to prison pipelines, and how girls with disabilities who are racialized, so, you know, coming from racialized communities, Black, Indigenous, and people of color, are more affected by this, especially racialized girls with disabilities. The other thing that we looked at is how incarceration linked with migratory status affects girls with disabilities. And what we found is that the rate of, there was a report by the Canadian Council for Refugees that found in 2018-2019 that 118 children were detained in immigration detention. And the findings with that all indicate that the conditions of incarceration really are detrimental to the development of children. You know, they affect their mental health, they affect things like increasing anxiety and depression in children who have been through these detention conditions. And so it goes against human rights and protocols internationally that Canada has signed on to.
Were there any surprises that came up in the study, or was there, or I guess, and is there anything in the study that you feel everyone should know or take away?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that what we focalize on is, again, the lack of data that is available on girls with disabilities. The statistical data that is compiled does not look at the intersections of race and gender for girls with disabilities, and that is a huge lack that needs to be gapped. And that means, you know, having things like governments at the Canadian government at the federal level do a better job of collecting these kinds of data, because they're important. Not collecting this data further invisibilizes girls and young women with disabilities. As it pertains to, you know, findings in the report that I think are really important to note, we note that girls and young women with disabilities face obstacles in accessing inclusive and empowering sex education. Given the various data that we've collected in the report, we also know that girls and young women with disabilities facing different systems of oppression are at higher risk of having their reproductive rights hampered and of being sterilized without consent. The literature also specifically addressing two-spirit, lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, intersex, asexual, aromantic, pansexual, and more young people with disabilities, you know, calls out, among other things, the imposition of gender norms and sexual identities. So that means, you know, that gender and sexual and physical norms imposed by an ableist society also have major consequences on the self-esteem of girls and young women with disabilities. And when we talk about, you know, things like body image, the research shows that the negative effects of beauty standards that are set, again, by an ableist and sexist society, you know, the participation of girls and young women with disabilities in things like leisure and sports activities have significant positive impacts on their self-esteem. But the report shows that despite the importance of their participation in these activities, girls and young women with disabilities, you know, still remain underrepresented. Accessibility is still a major barrier. And, you know, from our collaborations to make programs for girls more inclusive, what I talked about earlier with the Girls Without Barriers project, shows us that there's a tremendous amount of work that still needs to, that still remains to be done in creating more awareness about ableism and how it functions in order to better serve, you know, the needs of girls and young women with disabilities.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that work that needs to be done, the report has recommendations and calls for action. Can you speak a bit to that?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, the report, we have recommendations for government, for advocacy groups and for human rights organizations in Canada to, you know, take action to ensure, you know, that girls are again, at the center of our concerns, especially when it comes to disability. So we have a lot of recommendations, but just to name a few. So for governments, you know, we want government to collect data on girls in Canada using an intersectional feminist and cross-disability analysis and make that data publicly available. We want government to consult girls with disabilities and guarantee their self-representation in decision-making spheres and in research, which they are, you know, the first concern. When it comes to education, you know, we want government to make teaching establishments universally accessible. It is unacceptable that in Canada in 2020, there are still inaccessible establishments for education that limit the education of girls with disabilities. We also are asking for the development of national awareness and training programs for teachers and students to educate them about the various systems of oppression that I've mentioned, including, you know, a better understanding of what ableism means. When it comes to, you know, sexuality and gender identity, we want governments to develop and standardize positive, inclusive, emancipatory sex education in Canada that really moves away from, you know, the adult perspective I mentioned earlier in order to center the experiences and realities of girls and young women with disabilities. And that goes in hand with, you know, to subsidize the development of educational materials for parents, for health and school professionals, on, you know, the sexuality and reproductive rights of girls and young women with disabilities. And the list goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm. Ultimately, what impact do you hope that this report has more broadly?
Yeah, well, we really would love that people better understand the realities of girls with disabilities who are most marginalized. We deliberately took an intersectional feminist lens in talking about this report. So we want people to have better knowledge of this report, read it, and understand that when we talk about girls with disabilities, they're not a homogenous group. Mm-hmm. Girls with disabilities, you know, come with a complexity of identities and of systems of oppression that affect them. So when we did this report, we also illustrated the report, and we worked with an artist who is themselves a queer Black person with a disability to embody, you know, what it means to have representation of girls with disabilities. We don't, the images we see in our report are not images that we see in mainstream media. And that needs to change, because in order to affect, you know, all these things like self-esteem and that girls with disabilities feel like they matter and are empowered, they need to see themselves represented in those images that we see in the media. So we want to start to change the culture and shift, you know, those ableist ideas of who young women with disabilities and girls with disabilities are, but also have them at the center of the decisions that will affect their lives.
Nelly, thanks so much for your articulate and enlightening answers. If people want to learn more or get involved, where can they go?
Sure. So in order to read our report, you will find it on the Dawn Canada website, and that's at www.dawncanada.net. I also encourage folks to go and follow us on social media. So if you go to Facebook, for example, and you type Disabled Women's Network, Réseau d'Action des Femmes Handicapées Canada, you will find us and you give us a like and keep following the information that we put out there as it pertains to girls and young women with disabilities.
Perfect. Thanks so much again for chatting with us today.
You're a silent forest, you're a wild flower, you've been moving backwards into the wildfire, but you're a sharpened arrow, a spearing heart, stone cold, and you're a red-winged blackbird, perched up on the darkest of wars. He never gave you time or the space to soar, but you're a sharpened arrow that tried to spear a heart stone cold, and you're a red-winged blackbird perched up on the child dying, and your heart is cold.
You're listening to Dragon Root Radio on CQUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. I'd like to thank all our guests who came on the show today. And be sure to tune in 2 Mondays from now for more reports on gender-based issues.
For some news you can use. 7 metro stations will be free to enter on weekends until September. This is part of the city's effort to promote public transit use. The participating stations are Berry-UQAM, Champ-de-Mars, McGill, Peel, Place d'Arbre, Place des Arts, and Saint-Laurent. And Montreal's International Jazz Festival is coming. It takes place in the Quartier du Spectacle and features 500 performances, both indoors and outdoors. Two-thirds of these performances are free. The festival runs for 10 days, from this Thursday, June 30th to July 9th. For more information, visit montrealjazzfest.com. And Saturday marked the return of Montreal's fireworks competition, l'International du Feu Loto-Québec. World-class pyrotechnic teams will compete Wednesday and Saturday evenings over 6 weeks. They launch their fireworks from La Ronde, the Six Flags amusement park by the St. Lawrence River. For more information, visit sixflags.com/laronde-en.
CKUT, CKUT 90.3 FM.
Swanee Parolpopolo is back, and in real life for its 22nd edition. All the sights, sounds, and sensations of live music. After 2 years of online adaptation, Swanee is filling up the month of June with liberated music of all genres. Over 45 events and 90 participating artists performing indoors, outdoors, streamed for maximum accessibility. Record and book launches, workshops, a puppet show, a satellite Swanee happening in Wakefield, Quebec, of all places, and, of course, much more. For all the goodies, check out swaneeparolpopolo.org. Masks will, of course, be required. For your audio program guide, tune in to the Montreal Sessions, Tuesday, May 24th, May 31st, and June 7 and 14th, from 3 till 5 p.m. The Swanee crew hosts will be serving up highlights of what to expect at this year's festival. This is, of course, a CKUT co-presentation.
Music and anti-fascism, reflections on the past and possibilities in the present. Join us for a concert July 7th featuring Egyptian Cotton Orchestra, Montreal Free Jazz, Kim Dong Wong, free improv based on Korean traditional music, Skunk Heaven, New York City Noise, on July 7th, 2022. At 9 p.m., La Sala Rosa, 4848 Saint Laurent. For more information on the concert and conference on protest music and anti-fascism, music and antifascism.wordpress.com. This concert, with generous support from Swanee Parolpopolo and Popolo Press. This is a CKUT Radio co-presentation.
Words, mental illness. What do you think?
I have friends who don't even know that I suffer from depression.
Why don't they know?
Because I'm scared they'll ostracize me if they know, and then they'll abandon me. I don't want to be alone.
You're discriminated against when you have a mental illness. With other illnesses, there's compassion.
It doesn't take much to be diagnosed mentally ill.
Due to an outburst, I was diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic. And now the doctors say it's something else.
20% of people and counting have had or will have a depression.
People throw different labels around. You are this or you are that.
Everybody psychoanalyzes someone during a conversation.
You have a right to express emotions.
Anger, love, hate, sadness, confusion. It does not mean you're ill.
If you're down and out, seek help. Don't be scared. It can be very intimidating.
There are people listening and willing to help.
We have to innovate.
Get informed. Contact your local CLSC, Sun Youth, Amy Quebec, Ford House, or Prevention Suicide.
CKUT is a messenger, teaching the youth about roots and culture, and tell the masses them to remember Jah. That's all I need when I am. Well, CKUT is a messenger, teaching the youth about roots and culture. And tell the massive them to remember Jah. That's all I had in with I got. Well, well. 90.3 FM. It's CKUT, the Cultural Radio Station. Radio McGill. Blessed love. The messenger. Take it away.